Okay, William, here's another chapter in the Solar Hat. And this chapter is Kidnapping Squeaky Toy. Okay, so the last prologue that I left, the start of this little story, was, remember, Mr. Ningyoshi-san decided he'd bring his solar hat to see a skedaddle and put it on Squeaky Toy to see how it worked. Yahoo! But his airline ticket was picked up by his dread rival, Mr. Kusumono-san. And Mr. Kusumono-san said, I want that robot. So you know what he did? You know what he did? He called up his sales manager in Skedaddle, and he said, Kamakura-san, Kamakura-san, I have a robot. I want you to get it. Kamakura-san said, well, what? And Kusumono said, you have to get it, and you have to figure out how to get it, and I want it here, and I want it here, bye. And it was a week later. Well, that's when Mr. Ningyoshi-san was going to come into Skedaddle, and Kusumono-san did not want Ningyoshi-san near that robot. Kamakura-san, oh, Mr. Kamakura-san, you're just an accountant. He said, but Mr. Kusumono-san, big boss, how do I do this? Well, how do I find it? Where do I get it? Kusumono-san, I don't care how you do it. You're one of my managers. You do it. Well, Kamakura-san certainly wanted to do what his boss wanted. He had a nice little house in Redsoft, and he had made a good money, and he was pretty much an honest guy. I mean, he didn't go around kidnapping robots. And so he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he thought, well, I got to figure this out. And who can I have help me? Then he remembered that he had a nephew. He had a nephew working in sales and marketing. Well, it was a couple of rows underneath him, but it was a nephew of his, it was his sister's son, and the nephew had gone to school and gotten a degree in communications and then in marketing and in sales, and he had his MBA. Oh, he was so smart. He'd gotten an MBA in Japan and then come to Cascadia to work for Nippon Neuro Robotics. Or N squared RT. And so he thought, oh, I have a bright young nephew. I'll talk to him. So he got on the phone, and he called up his nephew. Now, his nephew was Kashikoi Shujiki. Oh, Kashikoi Shujiki. Who? Nobody ever called him that. They called him Kashi. Kashi. Hey, Kashi. Hey, Kashi. And Kashi was an affable young man. He'd gone studied really hard when he was at Tokyo Daigaku, and he got a degree in communication, and then he went on to get his MBA, and he got his MBA in sales and marketing, and oh, he was ready to go. He was going to sell the N-squared RT robots everywhere, the whole of Cascadia, everybody we were using, one of Mr. Kusumono's robots. He was very gung-ho. So when Mr. Kamakura-san sent him, he said, Kashi, this is your uncle, Hiyoshi. Oh, Kamakura-san. Oh, Kamakura-san, hello, how are you? And Kamakura-san said, listen, I need your help. Oh, I need your help to, Mr. Kamakura-san didn't want to say kidnap a robot, because after all, it maybe you shouldn't kidnap a robot. He said, we have lost a robot. Oh, Mr. Kamakura-san, one more fib. Tell a fib, everything unravels. But he did. We have lost a robot, and Mr. Kusumono tells me that it's an experimental robot, and you have to find it. And Kashi said, me? I do sales and marketing. I'm working with the ad people right now on a whole ad campaign for the new class of ball-bearing robots we're going to roll out. Oh, no, you have to drop that. Give it to somebody else. This is priority for you. But, Kashi, I'm your boss. Oh, well. Kashiko Shujiki knew who his boss was. So he said, okay, Kamakura-sama, you are my boss. Tell me what to do. All right, it's a robot. It's a robot that doesn't belong. It belongs here. You have to find it and get it and bring it back to me. Okay, and you have to bring it back to me by next week, next weekend. What? Yes, and here's the information I have. The robot was appropriated. He didn't want to say stolen because he didn't know if it was stolen. And appropriated didn't know if it was appropriated. And Kusumono had said kidnapped, but that, he said, well, it's one of our robots, and it is in the hands of Dr. Timothy Tyler Talltale, and you have to get it back. Timothy Tyler Talltale? I never heard of him. Well, you got to find out about him and get it back. And with that, Kamakura-san abruptly ended the call and hung up on his nephew. What a rude thing to do, Kamakura-san. Always be nice to people. Well, Kakashi said, oh, well. So he walked up to his boss, and he said, I'm sorry, Tsubame-san, I'm sorry, but I have just got an order. I have a new job. I have to recover a robot. His boss looked at him and said, what? Kakashi, you don't recover robots. You write ad copy. You do marketing profiles. You help us take photographs. What are you doing? I'm sorry, but my uncle, Kamakura-san, the head of the old region, my uncle told me I have to go help recover a robot, so that's what I have to do. All right. So Kakashi was onto it. Well, Kakashi was a young man of his generation. He knew how to find stuff. He knew how to get information. So the first thing he went to the Everywhere Net. Oh, he sat down in the Everywhere Net. He spent the rest of the day on Everywhere Net, looking up anything he could about Timothy Tyler Talltale. Well, he first of all found a lot of studies and articles that had been published by Professor Talltale. But he was really not into piezoelectric neurological communication networks. He was like, whoa, what am I reading? And so he tried to read through some of his articles. He couldn't do it. Then he went to some of the lookup pages, and he found where Timothy Tyler Talltale was in a Wikipedia. Oh, Wikipedia is still around. Wiki, Wikipedia. And he read all about Professor Talltale, how he was a professor at Washamagumption University. Washamagumption University. Well, that's just up the road. Let's keep reading. So he kept reading, and then he came across this interesting story that Dr. Talltale was the director of a fantastic association for robots. And just a while ago, he had given an award to a robot scientist in Japan. Oh, Japan, what do you know? He started reading the story, and there was a big picture. And in the picture was Dr. Timothy Talltale, and was Mr. Nigiyoshi-san. And Mr. Nigiyoshi-san was receiving his award. Yay! And standing next to Nigiyoshi-san was what looked like a little kid. And underneath it said, Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot, wins award for Mr. Nigiyoshi-san. Oh, well. That's Talltale, all right. That's what he looks like. He finally got a good picture of him. He got his face and everything. He said, that's a robot, but that looks like it's Ningiyoshi-san. Ningiyoshi-san. Oh, I wonder who Ningiyoshi-san is. So he went sideways and did some research on Ningiyoshi-san, because after all, when you're doing research, keep looking. And he read all about Mr. Ningiyoshi-san, read all about his robotic exploits, read all about his innovations in robotics. They said, oh, this is a very interesting person. How come he isn't working for N2RT? He should be working for us. I don't understand it. But anyway, he just looked at the article and said, well, I got to keep going. Now I know he's at Washamagumption University. Well, I'll just call up Washamagumption and find out where he is. So he did. Well, he tried. Well, he spent a whole morning the next day. Hello, I'm trying to find Dr. Timothy Talltale. Yes, okay. Can you tell me his home address? Oh, no, sir, we can't do that. Can you tell me what department he's in? Oh, yes, he's in the College of Piezoelectric Technologies. Oh, well then, can you give me his phone number? Oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, can you tell me where the college is? Oh, we can send you a map of the campus, sir. And out of his email came a map of the campus. But no phone for Dr. Talltale, no nothing. Oh, he was very distressed. Okay, I gotta do this. I'm running out of time. So he got in his car, and he drove to Washamagumption University. And he had his map, and he walked around the university, and he walked around until he got to the College of Piezoelectronic Technologies. And he said, oh, this must be it. So he walked in. And he walked into the front corridor, and there was a little person at the desk, and then everything else was locked. He said, oh, no. And he walked up to the desk, and he said, yes, ma'am, I'd like to see Dr. Timothy Talltale. The woman looked at him and said, oh, do you have an appointment? No, I don't have an appointment. Do I need one? Well, I'm sorry, sir. Yes, no, everybody who sees Dr. Talltale needs an appointment. I mean, he's a very famous man and very, very busy, and, unless you have an appointment, he can't see you. Well, I just wanted to stop by and say hi. Can I just drop in and say hi? She looked at him and she said, oh, no, sir. He's a very busy man. And besides, he's not in his office right now. He's not expected back till, maybe tomorrow morning, because he's at a conference. Oh. Oh. Well, would you tell me his telephone number and I'll give him a call and say hi? I wanted to just drop in and say hello. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. We don't give out telephone numbers of our faculty. No. Well, can you tell me where he lives and I'll send him a card, a postcard? Oh, no, sir. We would never give out the personal address of any of our faculty. Oh, Kashi was not happy. Kashi was trying to get information and he was running into dead ends. Yes. He didn't know what to do. So he said, oh, well, oh, okay. And he walked around, but he couldn't get in any of the doors. All the doors was locked. Well, this is a prime robotics research institute. You're not going to find, you're not going to find just stuff walking around. You have to be a student, or you have to be somebody who's part of it. So he walked up to a bunch of students who were there, and he said, oh, students, well, maybe I'll ask them. And he asked some students, and he said, say, do you know, any of you know Dr. Talltale? And the students looked at him and said, but of course we don't know Dr. Talltale. We are doing Talltale all the time. Well, can you tell me where he lives? They looked at him and said, no, I don't think so. We don't know. Nobody knows where he lives because he's a professor and he keeps that private. That's personal. And anybody who's gone to his house, well, they don't say anything about it because he's very personal. He doesn't want anybody bothering him and his kids and all the rest. So we don't know his address. Sorry. Oh, well, do you think I can get in with you and I can go see him and say hello because I'm here for my uncle and I just wanted to drop in? Oh, no, sir. You don't have a badge, do you? And Kashi said, what? And one of the students held up a little badge. Said, look, here's my badge. I'm going in. And Kashi said, well, how about if I just go in with you? Oh, no. This badge, if you don't have a badge, the alarms will go off. Oh, really? Yes, you have to have a badge. You can't go in. Are you a student here? They looked at him. And he said, well, no. My uncle once worked with Dr. Talltale. Oh, he's telling fibs now. Oh, more fibs. And he said if I was at Washington University to pop in and say hello. Students said, well, I think the best way, thing you can do is you can take a course with Dr. Talltale, and they have non-students that are allowed to audit courses, and maybe that's the best way to catch up to him. Oh, well, when can I do that? Oh, you can do that next semester. But that's not for another month. That's right, sir. You can do it then. So there it is. There it is. Kashi just didn't know what to do. He drove back to the office. He thought and thought. He said, oh, my uncle's going to be so mad at me. My uncle's going to be so mad at me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So he was sitting down in a coffee shop in the little restaurant they had at N Squared RT headquarters in when Skedaddle. And he was drinking a big cup of hot coffee because he liked coffee. Oh, he loved coffee. He had a really strong cup of coffee. And he was just sitting there looking away into space. And a friend of his came by. Well, this friend wasn't a master's MBA in marketing and sales. He wasn't a computer specialist. He wasn't a programmer. He wasn't, no. He worked on the back end that shipped all the robots out, called the dock. And he worked on the dock. And he loaded all these robot boxes into trucks. And then he unloaded robot parts into the factory. And then he unloaded other robots. And then he made sure they got to where they went to. And that was his job. He worked for, oh, there's a word for it. I used to do it too, William. Ah, don't get old, that's all I can say. So he worked out on the docks. And he knew everybody out in the docks. And he sat down and said, Kashi, how you doing? Kashi looked up. And there sitting in front of him was Tony Onesto. Tony! Oh, Tony Onesto, he was a great guy. He had his bachelor's degree from the University of Calizona, and he was up here, and he was working a job, but he didn't mind working on the docks because he knew he was going somewhere in his life. He just didn't know where. And he was also taking classes at Washington Gumption University in the College of Ethnojournalism and Communication. So he said, oh, hey, what's up, Kashi? You look really terrible. And Kashi said, oh, I gotta tell you, I gotta tell someone. And he told him the whole story. He said, here it is. My uncle called me up and said that there's a robot stolen from N Squared RT. Oh, no. No, you never steal robots from N squared RT. That is against the law. And remember, N squared RT is Nippon Neuro Robotics Technologies, or Nippon Neuro N squared RT. And he said, no, who would steal a robot? Well, Tony just laughed and said, well, I can tell you, there are a lot of trolls that steal robots. We've been lodged in a lot. They just take over the truck, and they drive the truck until it runs out of gas, or it crashes, or, because trolls aren't very good truck drivers, and then they, I don't know what happens, but the truck is empty by the time we find it. So we've been having trouble with trolls, but nobody else steals them. This is pretty good. We lock them down. We follow them. Tell me about this. Somebody stole a robot? Well, Kashi didn't have much to go on. I mean, he stole a robot. He said, yes, well, somebody's got a robot who shouldn't have a robot, and we're supposed to get it back. And that somebody is Dr. Timothy Tyler Taylor Talltale. And I've been at Washington Gumption University all day, and I can't get to him. I can't see him. I got to find out where he lives so I can go get that robot. Tony said, oh, well, I'm taking classes right there now. I mean, I can only take one class a semester, but I'm in the master's program for ethnojournalism. Maybe. Well, I have some friends. I tell you what I'll do. I'll go to school. I have a class this afternoon. Maybe I'll go to school and I'll talk to some of my friends and maybe they can help. So we drove to school and he was sitting in class. And he was, you know, before class, he was just shooting the talk, talking, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I've been hearing about this one professor at Washington Gumption who's really interesting. And I think it'd be interesting to go interview him about robots. And they looked at him and said, well, who's that? And he said, oh, it's, what's his name? It's Talltale, Dr. Timothy Talltale. Oh, one of his friends looked up and said, oh, Dr. Talltale. Yeah, he's in the College of Piezoelectronic Engineering. Yeah, he's over there. He's pretty smart. He's pretty well known. A lot of people know him. And I got friends who are in there. What do you need to know? And Tony said, well, I need to know where he lives so that we could send him a card because I work at a company and the company wants to send him an invitation to a robot conference. Oh, Tony, you're making stuff up now. Oh, another fib. Oh, William, no fibs. Just tell the truth always. It's so much better. But he told his line. The student said, oh, I might be able to find that for you. Well, I have a friend of mine. I'll call her up and see if she's taking classes. She might be able to get you there. So he did. He called her on his cell phone and he said, hello, blah, blah, blah. He stand up and he said, nope, nobody knows this guy's address. No, he's somewhere. He comes to class. He teaches classes and he disappears. He goes to a lot of conferences. We don't know where he is. Well, when's the next time he's going to be back? So he called up another friend and said, well, he should be back from the airport tonight. He was at a conference, and a lot of times he just hangs out. He comes into the office and checks his email and stuff, and then he heads home. So Tony thought, Oh, well, thank you so much. And he went to class, and he had his class in ethnojournalism. It was being taught by one of the graduate students, you know, and he was like, okay, graduate students. The graduate student was talking all about ethnojournalism and how important it was and all about everything. And Tony raised his hand and he said, Professor Pontier, tell me, what does an ethnojournalist do? Would an ethnojournalist be interested in interviewing robots? And Professor Pontier, of course, he wasn't a professor. He was just a PhD student. But he pumped up and he said, well, robots. Now, that's an interesting group. I've never talked to a robot. But I would imagine that they really don't belong to a culture. They don't create a social order. So I would think you wouldn't really find anything interesting in interviewing a robot. Kashi said, okay. Well, and class ended. So he went to the library. And he got on the library, and then he got on to the Everywhere Net. And he said, Talltale, let's look up Talltale. So he started looking up Talltale, and he said, And he looked up pictures. And he found all these pictures of Dr. Talltale. There was Dr. Talltale receiving an award. There was Dr. Talltale giving a presentation. There was a YouTube of Dr. Talltale talking about piezoelectronic neuronic communications in robot brains. I don't think so. There was Dr. Talltale giving an award to this little Japanese guy with looked like his grandkid next to him. Oh, that's pretty cute. He's got a grandkid at this thing. And he went through all the pictures and he said, well, I don't know. let's try something else. And he drove over to the College of Piezoelectric Engineering. He said, I'm just going to sit here for a little bit. I can read some readings. I got some stuff I got to read, some homework to do. Let me just sit here. He sat there. All the staff came out. Everybody left. The parking lot got empty. Everything was empty. And then a car showed up. It wasn't a fancy car. It was a decent car. Solid. Battered. And out came this guy who was, tall. Kind of pudgy. Kind of normal looking. But Tony looked at him and said, Tall Tale. That's him. The man disappeared into the building. Tony said, let me wait here. About a half an hour later, out came the man. He took off in his car. Tony said, I think I'll just follow him. So he did. He followed him out of Skedaddle. He followed him over Washington Gumption Lake. He followed him out into the hills. He followed him to Carnatoon. Well, of course, that's where Professor Talltale lived, right next to Mr. Cuttlefish. And he was in Carnatoon. And Tony just rode behind him, said, there it is, okay. Carnatoon, and saw his house. Okay, I see his house. Dr. Talltale climbed out of the car, and even though it was just getting dark, out jumped a woman, a tall woman, out jumped a couple of kids, out jumped this little kid. Well, Tony said, that looks like the little kid that I saw in the picture. I wonder how he comes in. Well, they got little kids, they got big kids, look at this. Okay, well, I see where he is. Maybe we can come back and look for the robot. So he took off. He drove away. Next day, first thing, he got into work, and he called up Kashi. He said, hey, Kashi, my friend, I think I found it for you. I know where Dr. Talltale lives. Kashi said, really? He does? Really? We got to go there. We got to go there. We got to find that robot. Well, Tony said, well, I don't think so. I'm working today, if you don't know anything about working. And we've got 3 shipments of robots that are going out, lots of shipments. We got these ball bearing robots that are going out, and they're really, really tough to ship. I'm down on the docks here doing it. Kashi said, wait a second. He put in a call to his uncle, Kamakura-san. And he said, Uncle, I found the robot. Now, notice he didn't say Tony has found where the robot was. He claimed it for himself. Oh, Kashi, come on. Be honest. So he said, I found the robot, but I need some help. And I need help from somebody out on the dock who's strong and he knows how to drive a truck. And Kamamura said, well, okay, what's his name? He said, well, his name is Tony Onesto, and he's down on the docks and he loads the trucks for the robots. Kamakura said, he's just a dock worker? You want to take? Yes, he knows what to do. Okay, so what do I need to do, said Kamakura-san. Well, Uncle, you need to call the docs, and you need to say he's on a special assignment, and he's supposed to work with me, because we're gonna go check on an order for a big delivery, and he has to be able to estimate, Kashi was here thinking fast now. He has to estimate how many trucks he needs for the robots. Kamakura-san said, okay, and he called up Tony's boss. And he said, no, Tony's got a job. We got to have him do a job. We think he's the best one to do it. He's going to go out with a guy from marketing and sales. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll find somebody else to load these trucks. He called Tony over. He said, Tony, you're on a job. Go find this guy up in marketing and sales. What's his name? Kashi. Kashi Koishujiki. Go find him. He's going to do something. You're supposed to go and take an order of robots and figure out how many trucks we need to ship out. I guess that's a good thing. Oh, so Tony went off. And he went up to Kashi's office. I said, well, what? Kashi said, let's go. Tony said, what do you mean, let's go? Let's go. We're going to that place where you found. Oh. So Tony said, well, who's driving? And Kashi said, well, will you drive? And Tony said, hey, it's a ways out. You're going to pay for my gas? Kashi said, okay, all right, I'll drive. So Kashi pulled out his car, which was pretty fancy because he was the nephew of the owner. And he drove off to Carnatoon. Well, they went cruising into town. And there was town, there was a toy shop, there were the houses, there was just a little square. And then Tony said, look over there down that street. See there? See that little house? It wasn't a big looking mansion. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just looked like a house. He said, that's it. That's where the robot is. That's where Talltale lives. I'll make a bet his robot's in there. Tony said, well, how are we going to find that robot? Well, let's go look in the windows. Tony said, are you kidding me? I'm not going to look in the windows to see if they... Well, we have to. So they parked the car a couple blocks away and walked over, and they looked in the windows. They looked in the window here. They looked in the window there. Couldn't see anything. Couldn't see anything until Maxie the dog. No, Maxie the dog is with Dr. Goodlight. Ah, wrong dog. So they looked in the windows, couldn't see anything. There was a woman sitting typing at a computer. Okay, we got her. And there were kids were at school, so he couldn't be there. And then sitting in a corner was this little kid. Oh, look, that's the little kid. And Kashi said, oh, that looks like the little kid that was hanging out with that Japanese roboticist. It's his grandson, I think. Tony said, yeah, I saw that picture too. It looks like him. I wonder where the robot is. So they looked all through the house, very carefully creeping around, creeping around, creeping around. And then they thought, we better get out of here before we get caught. So they took off. And Kashi drove back to the headquarters. He said, what are we going to do? We got to find that robot. So Tony said, I have an idea. I got an idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a truck. I got a friend of mine that drives a pizza truck. We'll get the pizza truck. And then we'll drive back to Carnatoon tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's Saturday. We'll drive back Saturday, and there'll be kids everywhere, and we'll sell pizza. And Kashi said, I don't know how to make pizza. Well, you'll learn how to make pizza. We'll make some pizzas, and we'll sell pizzas, and we'll keep our eyes open for any sign of robots. And when we do, we'll get the robot, put it in the pizza truck, and drive off. Oh, okay. Well, okay. We can do that. So that's what they did. So the next day, that evening, Tony called up his friend. And he said, hey, I need your pizza truck tomorrow. We're going to sell some pizza. And his friend, who was, Ricardo, said, what? You don't know anything about pizza? How can you sell pizza? Besides, I need my truck for Sunday. I got a pizza esperanza we have to go to. Oh, come on, just for Saturday. I just want to go out and sell some pizzas and have some fun. It's part of my... Oh, Tony, don't do this. Oh, Tony. It's part of a project I'm doing for my ethnojournalism class. How kids like pizza. Oh, okay. Well, anything to help you with school, said Ricardo. And he let Tony have his pizza truck. So Tony and Kashi get dressed up Saturday morning. Now, they don't have much time to get this robot and get it back. And they dressed up like they were pizza guys. Little white shirt, little white hats, pizza guys. Then they went to the store and they bought a whole bunch of frozen pizzas. They weren't going to make pizzas. And they put them in the ovens and they started baking them up. And they drove out to Carnatoon. Oh, they drove around Carnatoon. They were looking at Carnatoon. They were looking at everybody. They were saying, I can't. We got to find that robot. They drove past Dr. Tall-Tale's house. Nobody out. Drove back past Dr. Tall-Tale's house. A couple of kids were out. Drove back past Dr. Tall-Tale's out, a couple of kids, and there was that little kid again, that little grandkid. He's about three. Look at him. He's pretty good for a three-year-old. So they pulled up into the city square right in front of the toy shop, and they opened up for pizza. Oh, yes, indeedy. They didn't know, but they were very popular. They made some money selling pizzas. And they looked around, and where's the robot? We got to find this robot. Well, then up showed these kids that were out in front of Dr. Tall-Tale's house. Well, you know who they were. There was 3T and Curtis and Kwame, and they brought this little kid. Oh, and the little kid got up there, and 3T came up and said, how much for a slice of pizza, mister? And the guy looked down at him, and he said, well, it's not too much. It's only 4.5 Reagan doubloons. And he looked at him, and he said, no, don't have that many Reagan doubloons. Well, I tell you what, I'll give you a little piece, and it'll only cost you 10 lunar nickels. Oh, well, I got 10 lunar nickels. I can pay for that. Okay. Well, you'd get a better pizza with a Reagan doubloon. No. I think the lunar nickels will be fine. So 3T pulled out of his pocket 10 lunar nickels, and he gave them over to Kashi, and Kashi gave him a slice of pizza. And then Kwame did the same, and then Curtis did the same. Then he looked at the little robot and said, hey, how about that little kid? Does he want some pizza? Oh, no, sir. He's not hungry. What do you mean he's not hungry, said Kashi. Every kid's hungry. And Tony said, yeah, look, here, have some pizza. I'll give it to you free. And he handed it out, a little piece of pizza, the squeaky toy. The little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot took the pizza, but he didn't know he didn't know how to eat it. So he said, oh, thank you, sir. And he bowed low. And then he started taking little pieces and putting them in his mouth, because if you remember, he could eat a little bit and it would go into a little pouch and it would look like he was eating, but he'd have to empty that pouch after a bit because it's not getting digested anywhere. And so he was doing that. And then Kashi and Tony were looking at him and saying, he's just too big for a little kid. He looks like he's only 3 because he's only a meter, but he's pretty cool. Look at him go. He's talking and he's this. Kashi said, he looks Japanese too. And Tony said, yeah, I saw him in that picture. I said, So they watched him go away. Everybody stopped coming. They said, what are we going to do? How are we going to get that robot? And then finally, across the street, out of the toy shop, comes this old lady. Well, she wasn't that old, but she was pretty old. And that was Margaret Maplethorne. And she came up to the pizza place and said, do you have any pizza left? I haven't made dinner and I'm so hungry. I'd love some pizza. And Kashi said, well, ma'am, we do have some pizza. And since it's the end of the day, we can give you a good price on it. And she said, well, how much for that pizza? He said, listen, we'll let you have it for 2 Reagan doubloons. And she looked at him and said, 2 Reagan doubloons? Well, it's a little bit expensive, but okay, I'm hungry. And so he said, okay, I'll do it up. And she did up the Reagan doubloons. And Tony, by the way, was thinking, well, here's our last chance. And he said, well, ma'am, this is a great little town. This is the first time we've ever had pizza here. You know, this is a great little town. But we had heard, somebody told us that there were robots here. We don't see any robots, though. And we thought there'd be more robots in town. Margaret Maplethorne looked at him and said, robots? We don't have any robots here. So we only have one. Kashi said, you have one? Yeah, we have one. He's the cutest little robot you've ever seen. That little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. Really? Yeah, and he just generally dresses all in white, and he's really cute, and he's happy, and he's so helpful. He'll do anything you ask him. He is so helpful. And Tony said, well, I mean, is he the little guy? He's like small? He might have had pizza today. Oh, he doesn't eat pizza. It looks like he's eating pizza. He doesn't. He's a robot. And he's Ayatsuri Ninja Robot. And he runs around with 3T and Kwame and Curtis, and they have a great time. Kashi and Tony looked at each other and said, oh, really? Oh, yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, look, there he is. He's coming down the street. Well, I gotta go eat this. And she took off. Oh, Kashi said, really? Tony said, really? So they sat there watching the little kid come down the street. And then as he came along, Tony leaned out and said, hey, little kid, come here, little kid, come here. So Ayatsuri Ninja Robot walked over and said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And Tony said, hey, I've got a whole couple pizzas left, and I know you had some friends that were with you today, and they were really disappointed when we didn't sell them a pizza, so I'd like to give you a pizza to bring home with you because we really appreciated their coming to buy pizzas from us. Well, Ayatsuri Ninja Robot was a very honest little robot. You know how that is. And he tended to do the one problem that honest people had. He believed you. And so he said, oh, okay, well, I think that'd be great. I'd love to have some pizza. So then Kashi said, oh, it's great, but I tell you, where's the problem? You have to help us get it out because it's way back of the oven and it would really have some help if you could help us out. So Ayatsuri Ninja Robot said, okay. Oh, come on in the truck. So he opened the back of the truck. Ninja Robot got into the truck, and he came up to the oven. And Kashi said, okay, so see where the pizza is? And Ninja Robot leaned right down and said, yep. He said, well, see, here's this other oven in here. And there was another big oven. It was a pretty big oven. And he said, look in there. That's where we think the other pizza is. And Ninja Robot looked at the oven, and he said, I don't see a pizza. And Kashi said, well, that's good for you. And he pushed Ninja Robot into the oven. Well, fortunately, the oven wasn't turned on, though it wouldn't have hurt Ninja Robot anyway, but it wasn't turned on. It wasn't hot. It was just, he was stuffed into an oven, and they closed the oven door, and then they took a whole bunch of bungee cords, and they wrapped that all around so nothing could get out. Yahoo! They high-fived each other. They said, great, and they took off, and they drove away. Well, they thought they had done so much good. They had caught Ninja Robot, this little robot. They had captured him. He's the one of Dr. Telltale's. He must be the one they've stolen. Looks like a prototype. They'll just bring him back. They're good to go. Everything's set. And they took off. Well, they thought They were so smart. Oh, they were so clever. Oh, they were so smart. They got away with it. Nobody saw them. But that's not true. Because they did the one thing they should not have. They forgot to look up. And if they'd looked up, who would they have seen in the trees? They would have seen ninja squirrels. And the ninja squirrels have been watching this all along. They've been watching the little robot come up, come into the truck, then they didn't come out, and the truck took off. And Meanie said, what's that all about? And another ninja squirrel said, oh, looks like the robot just got stolen. And Meanie said, oh no, that's our robot. That's our robot. They can't steal that. That robot's supposed to get us lots of nuts. We got to do something about this. We got to get that robot back. So they huddled around and they said, we got to move quick. Let's go. We'll get that robot back. We know how to do that. Meanwhile, Kashi and Tony were having a great time laughing. Ah, ha, 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 we did it. All right. Yay. And poor Ayatsuri Ninja robot was stuck in the oven. He could barely move. Fortunately, he didn't have to breathe. But he was like, hello, hello, sirs. What? Help. Hello, sirs. But nobody could hear him. Oh, William. Oh, William, what's going to happen? I don't know. I have to say, I don't know. I'll have to wait for the next story, just like you. So, have a good sleep tonight. Hug your sister, Lauren. She's such a precious little being. Hug your mama and your daughter. They're such wonderful people. You have a wonderful sleep. It's almost Christmas. You can dream about Santa Claus and Christmas toys and maybe an Ayatsuri Ninja robot of your own. Love you, William, and we'll tell you the next story as soon as I get there. Okay, bye-bye.